Get ready to go. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and my name is Jeffrey Davis. And when I said ready to go, it's because our guest today is Larry Steibel from Steibel Peabody Associates. And if you've never heard Larry, you've really missed out on something. He's truly a talent. And before we go, I just want to thank our host for this month, and that's The Social Scene. And coming to you live from the Social Scene offices here in Natick, Massachusetts, visit socialscene.me to see how they're bringing people together one event at a time and will change your social life as well. Welcome to our show again, Larry.
Hi, Jeffrey. Nice to be here.
Thank you very much. Larry, I always see your emails. I think they're weekly. You're unbelievable. I always look for your content. You really are a thought leader. I've said this to you before. What are we going to be talking about today?
Addressing problems. How to address problems.
That's good. So this is something, you know, I have to come across every day. I'm helping entrepreneurs and leaders see problems.
Right.
It's a problem. People have trouble seeing problems, correct?
Yeah.
And then addressing them.
Yep. So I was inspired by trying to take up golf. And my golf coach was talking about addressing the ball.
Right.
And that he said the actual striking of the ball is just a few seconds. But your real thought has got to be, how are you going to address the ball? So in golf, it's, okay, how are you going to stand in relationship to the ball? Is the ball going to be between your feet or on your, by your left toe or your right toe? What's your shoulder like going to be in relationship to the target? That's all addressing the ball.
Right.
And then there's the actual striking of the ball. And I thought, well, how does that relate to the business problems that I've seen my clients deal with? So let me give you a real classic example. I got a friend named Terry, and she has a condominium in Florida. And she finds that there was a flood upstairs, and the water came down, and it's destroyed everything in her condo. Her condo is toast. And she can address this problem really two ways. She can address it from a negative point of view, a risk management, liability deduction point of view, which is to say, oh my God, this is going to take me so much time. This is so frustrating. I'm so angry. I would have to buy everything all over again. This is awful. She could also address it from an asset enhancement point of view, which is to say, this is going to be a lot of time. It's going to be a lot of work. But at the end of this, I'm going to have a brand new apartment. Now I can sell this apartment and live where I want to live, or I can really enjoy my new apartment. But I'm going to have to go through some crap in order to get to it. What she's going to do is the same, but how she's addressing the problem is different.
Right.
So,
To me, a lot of that comes down to having the right habits to create the right outcomes.
Yep.
When you're talking about addressing the ball, you're learning new muscle memory so that you can create the right effect. And you haven't had the right muscle memory. And that's true with a lot of people. If they don't understand how to create the right habits, they're not going to get the right result.
So I was impressed with a study which was done by James Avery of Central Washington University. And he and his colleagues looked at this issue about how do you address problems. And they did what's called a meta study. And a meta study is a study that studies studies. They looked at 51 independent research articles that represented 12,500 employees. And what they found was when they reviewed all these studies, there's a significant positive relationship between addressing problems from an asset enhancement or positive perspective and desirable employee behavior. These behaviors include measured job satisfaction, organization commitment, psychological well-being, supervisor evaluations. At the same time, there's a significant relationship between using a negative approach to solving problems and undesirable employee attitudes. That includes more employee cynicism, higher turnover intentions, and job stress. So I used to think, and I even wrote an article in MIT Sloan Management Review saying, you got to address it from a balanced point of view. You look at the assets, you need to look at the liability, try to be balanced. What this study is saying is, I'm wrong. You're better off looking at it from a positive point of view. you may not even feel that positive about it. As far as you're concerned, it's just a total dog poop kind of thing. But in terms of how you were going to
get a PhD it, so you can say dog poop.
Dog poop, yeah. Well, I know we're on radio. But the idea is when you're dealing with a problem, address it from, okay, what are the benefits and how can we make this better? And that's going to improve your employee commitment, reduce the cynicism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know from your work that's not natural for a lot of people.
Right.
And that's where people like you and me come in, which is to sort of say, you got to address this problem differently than what's natural for you.
Right.
And there's certain jobs that inherent in the job, it's supposed to be negative in nature. Typical would be a controller, a quality control inspector. And they're usually focusing on the negatives here. And what this article is saying is, yeah, even though your job is to look for the liabilities and the faults, you got to approach it from a positive point of view.
Right. Well, that's true, because if you're positive about it, you're more likely to address it.
Yeah. And part of it, part of what we're trying to do with our clients is, okay, what are you going to do with this information now that you got it? Well, the first thing is you name it. You name the thing that you want. So on job descriptions, I'll give you a little slogan that we
give me the slogan
that we talk about is on job descriptions. You put, say, we're looking for people who have a positive attitude for problems. If you don't put it on a job description, then you shouldn't be surprised that you're hiring on other kinds of people. The next thing is you got to pay for it. Maybe one of the questions on a performance evaluation is on a 0 to 10 scale, the incumbent articulates positive ways we can reach our desired objective. 0 is person never does it. 10 is the person always does it. Put a number from 0 to 10. And then if the person is a 7 or an 8, you provide a bonus.
Right.
Now, that bonus could be as small as 1 or 2% of base salary. But if you don't put it in your compensation system, then it's just words. It doesn't mean anything. If it's in the compensation system, it's just
people have to understand it too.
You're willing to pay for this positive, desirable behavior.
Behavior has to be aligned with compensation, and the person who's getting that compensation has to understand how those two connect, correct?
Yeah. And one of the things I find in a lot of the companies that I work with is leaders spout all sorts of really nice euphemisms, you know, like today's euphemism is we want to be innovative, but then they don't pay for it,
right?
And they don't. So if you want something, be willing to pay for it. The next thing,
or is invest in it.
The next thing is script it,
right?
If your goal is to grow your business, you want to hire people with these desirable attributes. You want to pay them for their desired behavior, and then you want to script it. So, for example, when I go to the doctor, there's going to be a question: do you feel safe at home? They always ask this, but consistently they ask it.
They don't ask me that all the time.
I know. Well, they know you're not.
Maybe they don't like Marianne. Maybe your wife's more aggressive than I thought.
But the idea of scripting is to take it out of personal, this feels good, and then to say, this is what you're going to say. So, for example, one of the things we do with our clients is to say, as a leader, you've got this balance between encouraging innovation and, on the other hand, channeling other people's ideas so that it's financially feasible and practical.
Right.
Which means a lot of times you're going to be saying no to people. But how you say no is going to be really important. If you approach no from, this is a terrible idea, you may be less inclined to throw out other ideas in the future. We would work on a script that's called a scorecard, which is to say we never use the word you. Jeffrey presents Larry with an idea. I'm never going to use you in the sentence. It's scripted so that Jeff, let me comment on this idea.
Impersonal.
On a 0 to 10 scale, in terms of its innovation, Jeff, I think this is a 9. This is a great idea. On a 0 to 10 scale, in terms of do we have the budget and the staff for it, it's a 2. We really don't. On a 0 to 10 scale, does it fit our strategy? It's a 5. So that's kind of my evaluation of the idea. Notice I never used the word you.
Right.
Because I'm not talking, I'm trying to sort of put a distance between the idea.
Well, you're trying to make it less emotional.
Yeah.
And more about the content.
Plus, you know, if I'm using the scorecard in a consistent way, you know what my measures are. You know I'm going to be looking at strategy, finances, innovation. And I'm going to be measuring that. So as you learn my way of thinking, you will begin changing the ideas you're presenting to me. But you know I'm going to do it in a consistent way. It's not how I feel in the morning.
Right.
So it's scripting. The idea of scripting is as you scale, then everybody does the same thing. Everybody uses the same words. And that's
well, and you're learning, but and going back to your original point, you're showing people how to address the situation
exactly
consistently so that they get the right outcome.
Exactly. But the bias is try to do it from a positive point of view. Again, this is very difficult for people with titles like Chief Financial Officer because they get paid for looking at the negatives. This is very difficult for people in insurance who have titles.
Well, they consider
like
themselves objective or realists, and they say things without, you know, any sensitivity to the human condition.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's how do you sort of talk about something you may really think it's a bad idea, but you got to do it from a positive angle. It's not natural for some people.
Right. Interesting. Are there other factors that people need to learn in terms of addressing problems for this conversation?
I think in terms of hiring, there's something a psychologist called the Big Five personality factors. And after a lot of years, what they've come up with is there's 5 different personality factors over and over again, and it seems to be almost inborn to people.
Are we going to get them?
Off the top of my head.
Oh, come on. You can do it.
One is openness to new ideas versus closed to new ideas.
Yeah.
Another one is outgoing versus, extrovert versus introvert.
Mm-hmm.
A third one is people who want kind of a nice, comfortable, and everybody happy.
Harmonizing.
Harmony versus people who don't care about that. Interestingly enough, entrepreneurs don't care about that.
As much, no.
No,
the ends justifies the means.
You know, I'm not
right
here to make Jeff happy.
Right.
I'm here to build my business.
God, if I had a dollar every time someone said that.
the other one is neuroticism, which is defined as on one hand people who are high in the neurotic scale tend to be very creative.
Right.
So people who do what you do, they're not that creative either.
You're right. Nailed me.
So the issue is be clear about the kinds of personalities that are effective in your organization and hire for those.
Now I know why my whole staff calls me Samsonite. Larry, always a pleasure seeing you.
Thank
you have
you,
great
Jeffrey.
Insights into the working world and the mind and the psychology around the working world. You're author, writer for MIT, for Harvard. Working well. If somebody wants to benefit from your years of experience and knowledge, where would they find you? How would they find you? Someone just asked for you yesterday, I saw.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah. All they have to do is go to my website with anything that they want.
Now, I've tried this before. As you're writing all these articles, can you come back more often?
Love to.
Great. We're going to work on that. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm here with Larry Steibel from Steibel Peabody, a giant, and I mean it, in every way. And again, I want to thank our friends at the social scene And I'm telling you, today's the day. Take a look at socialscene.me and see the future of your social life today. We're going to take a break. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.